Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 280. So today I wanted to discuss Miriam. Miriam is actually a topic I talked about last year. I believe it was in number 73. But I'd like to revisit the topic. I think it's really significant and important, and there's a lot to learn from this. And I don't think I covered everything that I wanted to last year, so let's see what we can do this time. So, there's a pasuk in Micha. Micha is one of the Nevi'im. It talks about ki he'ali sicha. This is God talking. Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Egypt. And I redeemed you from the house of slavery, the house of bondage. Ve'eshlach lefanecha, and I sent before you es Moshe, Aharon, u'Miriam. And I sent Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So, you know, you don't get the sense when you read the Torah and you read the story. You know, you think Moshe is the number one, and Aaron's sort of like his assistant. He's like the Robin to Moshe's Batman. And then there's Miriam. So Miriam doesn't play a very active role, a very loud role. But it's very interesting. But this pasuk seems to equate the three of them, of course, as being the ones who saved the Jewish people. I sent you these three people to save you. So I want to talk about that because there's an incredible amount of credit given to Miriam by the rabbis, even if it's not expressly in the Torah, but the narrative, it seems, could not happen as it did without Miriam, and we're going to learn some lessons from her over the course of these 9 minutes. So we know the story begins with the Jewish people, of course, in slavery and bondage in the beginning of Shemos. They're paru vayishutzu vayirbu vayatzbu ma'od ma'od. They're very, very many. They increase tremendous amount, vatimali ha'aretz osam, and the land is filled with Jews, and the Egyptians are very overwhelmed by this, and they think of their sort of final solution, their idea. What are they going to do? They're going to kill the Jewish babies. Now, of course, if you kill the Jewish baby boys, that was their particular goal, then, you know, you need boys and girls in order to make more Jews, but, you know, there will be more Jews if there are only girls. But specifically, they had the idea that maybe killing some of the boys, or at least as many as they can, will limit the population growth. And in addition, they had this idea that there was going to be some sort of savior who might take them out. So on the one hand, they want them there, but they don't want too many of them there. And so that was the plan. So Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lemialdos Ha'ibrios, here's the idea. Go, and when you have, and you help, the midwives help, the Jews have babies, Arisa Malav Nayim, and Beinu V'hamiteno So V'imbasi V'chaya. Keep the Jewish girls, get rid of the Jewish boys, and that'll sort of act as a population trim to make sure as well that the any Jewish boy would not rise up in order to vanquish the Egyptians and get them out of here. Of course, we know that the Gemara tells us that Amram, the leader of the generation, or one of the leaders of the generation, went and due to this separated from his wife. Because he figured, what's the point of having babies if they're just going to be killed? So, there's a very well-known medrash where Miriam responds and says, Father, Abba, kashuk zeiros chayosem yishal paro. Your decree is harsher than paro. Paro only decreed against the males. You, because you separated from mom, decreed against the males and the females. No babies at all. Now, she must have been pretty young when she made the statement. But this is quite the criticism. She says, Paro is an evil man and his decrees will not necessarily come true, but what you do will happen, right? Paro might actually be foiled, but Amram will not be foiled. And so, Amram, you have to take your responsibility seriously. So indeed, what happens? They get back together, Amram and Yocheved, and you would imagine that if Amram and Yocheved go and get back together and recouple, so too a lot of the other Jews would follow their lead after having separated, perhaps, would get back together. So Miriam made an incredible difference. Of course, Chazal, we know, puts Miriam as one of these midwives who, instead of killing the Jewish baby boys, figured out a way to, I don't know, talk Paro out of it and not kill the Jewish baby boys. Okay? So Miriam, though, goes further when it comes to the future of Moshe. The Gemara in Sota talks about how she had a prophecy when she was still only the sister of Aaron and Moshe was not yet born, that said, Imi shetelet ben shemoshia es Yisrael. In the future, my mother will give birth to the Savior of Israel. Moshe was born, the Gemara continues, the house is filled with light, and the father, Amram, rose and kissed her on the head. He says, my daughter, your prophecy has been fulfilled. This is definitely the guy. And now, and of course, only after they had gotten back together due to Miriam. And Miriam was one who called that this boy is going to be the one who saves the Jewish people. But then they have to go and send him into the Nile to possibly protect him. And there was no guarantee that he was going to survive the Nile. And so he says to her, my daughter, okay, what about your prophecy? Where is your prophecy now? And so she stood from afar to see what would happen because everything she understood hung in the balance. It's interesting that she is sort of the rock of faith and the future of redemption of the Jewish people, whereas her father, the leader, is a little bit secondary to that. Now, we see later on in Jewish history throughout the period of the desert, there are three natural resources, I should say, unnatural resources that are given to the Jewish people. The Be'er, the water, the Anan, the cloud, and the Man, food and shelter and water. And, of course, the Gemara tells us that Miriam provides the water, right? Which is the most basic of sustenance. You can survive a pretty long time without shelter, even longer time without food. Without water, you could barely survive. And Miriam is attached to that gift. And, of course, it's associated with the story of her standing by the side of Moshe at the water. But of course, you can understand how it was her faith that was so critical, just like water, to the survival of the Jewish people. We have later on in the story with Miriam, where she speaks what's considered to be Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe, her crime and her punishment. It's something that we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to remember it for a long time. Perhaps we're supposed to remember it because the Avera of Lashon Hara, the sin of Lashon Hara, is very egregious. It's something which is basic, speaks to the social fabric and how we get along with people, and it's really important in that regard. But it's really interesting. The Sfasemes says, "Lefi shahaya kocha gadol bepeh, nensha b'dibra Moshe." Because the power in her mouth was so great, she was punished when she spoke about Moshe. Why was the power of her mouth so great? It seems because of the influence that she has had so far, right? Her intention was good. Her intention was to keep Moshe together with her husband, his wife, and that really still was illustrative of how kichut hasaira, you know, tzaddikim are judged, righteous people are judged, and with a hair's breadth of flexibility. You know, there's a great expectation because of her power, and it also speaks to the power and her righteousness, and that's why she was punished at this level, because she was at such a high level. Okay, so now one of the things that comes up in that story, right, so is that they waited after, right? So the pasuk says the ha'am lo nosa ad he'asef Miriam. This is again later in Parsha Shalach, and it says that they would not travel until Miriam was brought in. Right? Miriam was outside of the camp because she developed leprosy, tzaras. Tzaras is something which you can't be in the camp for. The nation did not move. Why did the nation not move? So Rashi famously says it was a big kavod. It was a big kavod because she stood by Moshe and waited and had faith and belief in Moshe and the prophecy and the fact that the Jews would come out of Egypt and they would be redeemed. But the Archaim says something else, which I think is beautiful. It's not just that there was kavod given by God, there was honor given by God because of what Miriam had done. But it says specifically, V'ha'am lo nosa. Tala ha'davar ba'am. It was the people who wouldn't leave. Lehodia ki ha'am hiskimu leval yisu ad ha'yosef Miriam. Maybe everybody was ready to go. Maybe it was time to go. But the people refused to move because they would not go and one step further without their Miriam. You see the role that Miriam had in the eyes, not just of God, but in the eyes of all of the people. She was indeed, as we began, the leader like Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. And I'd like to conclude with one more idea, very powerful, I believe, as well, in this week's Parsha. So if you sort of can visit back this week's Parsha as well, we have the Shira, the Az Yashir, right? And of course, all of the Jews sing. And then there's like this thing where, the women take out, led by Miriam, Atikach Miriam Hanavia Achos Aharon Es Hatof Biada. She took a tambourine and vateitzena kol hanashim acharei besupim uvemecholos. They took all of these instruments and tambourines and with dances, fantastic. Now, I want you to just understand the context over here. It talks about when they left Egypt, that they had this dough, right? And we know the story. They took the dough and it had not yet become leavened. Why? Because it just was such a whirlwind. They got out so quickly. They barely had time to prepare and time to leave. But, says Rashi, they had tupim, they had mecholos, they had dances prepared, they had tambourines, they had instruments. Doesn't say anything about the men having instruments, but the women did. Because muftachos hayu tzidkanio shebedar shakadosh baruch hu osa lehem nisim, they were confident that miracles would happen. They were confident that they would be saved. V'hotziu tupim mi Mitzrayim. They took their drums. Now, that is a wild idea. Not only do they take their provisions because they have a faith they're going to leave, they take their tools for celebration because they are so confident in the fact that they will be redeemed and the prophecies will come true. Perhaps this Miriam and this larger idea, which is visible in more places, but we don't have time for them, is what the Gemara means. And the Gemara says, this is the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, the righteous woman, got us out of Egypt.